thank you everybody for coming, and thank you, Sean. You know, she's giving me the credit, but I always say to people in Chief, you know, that God sent Sean to Chief not because of me. Yeah, because Sean, you know how to take ladies like me with all my baggages and my insecurities and look beyond that and say, God still needs you. And that's why God has put you in this position, because God knows you have the eyes to see beyond all our insecurity, all our baggages. When I sometimes say, "You're not me, please," and he goes, "It's you." And then, thank you so much. And I want to say thank you to AFCU, Armed Forces Christian Union as well. They've really, really helped me in praying for me. I was part of 25. We have a Facebook page, and we're allowed to like put on, if you are going through anything, put it on. And when I'm going through my struggles, I'll put it on the page. I'm like, and then everybody will go, "I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you." And then later I'll go and check the page and see how many people are praying for me. And then I'll go back to the devil. I'm like, "Wow, you see, the Bible, yeah." I said, "The Bible says, one will put a thousand to flight, 2 10,000. I say, "You see how many are praying for me?" And I say, "You are messing with the wrong girl, devil. You better back off." Yeah, and I thank you so much, Armed Forces Christian Union, and I really appreciate all your prayers. Thank you. Well, I'm Amy Afrey. I'm married to Frank. Afrey is in the army. We live in Chivino, and we have 4 girls. Rebecca is 16, and Jasmine Beryl is 9, Jaden Ruby is 5, and Joy Dora is 16 months. So it's a full-time job. Yeah. I'm from Africa. I'm from Africa, and I'm from Sierra Leone, West Africa. Guess you can see that much, but it's in the corner over there. Freetown. I'm from Sierra Leone in the west of Africa, and I was born in Freetown. That's the capital city of Sierra Leone. As you can see Freetown there. And in Sierra Leone we have a lot of dialects. More than 15, but I was born in Freetown, so we speak Creole. You can see there, we speak Creole, and it's broken English. But the Ghanaians speak broken English, the Nigerians speak broken English. My husband is a Ghanaian, but when I speak broken English, he doesn't understand. No. But I understand the Ghanaian, and And I'll just leave it for you to read for 2 minutes. Yes, the war started earlier before 1991, because Charles Taylor was the president of Liberia then, and he overthrew Samuel Doe, was the legal president, and he took over power. So he was fighting because of diamond. So they wanted a diamond, and so they started fighting because we are border with Liberia. So they started fighting from the border down to the city. But apparently in 1997, they attacked the city unaware to us, because we thought that, oh, it will only stop at the villages, but they attacked the city in 1997, and it lasted for like 2-3 months, and the ECOMOG was able to drive them out. ECOMOG is like all the armed forces in the West African region, so they'll come together and then fight anything that goes on. If you read the news, you'll know that in Gambia, there's like Yahya Jammeh didn't want to leave. So the ECOMOG come together and say, "We are going to force you to go." So that was the troop then. Sorry, English is my second language, but you understand. Yeah. Yeah, and I was born in Freetown, as I say, and I was born in Waterloo Street. Yeah, and the Parliament is at the top. I can't see it, but it's at the top. So the Parliament is about 30-minute walk from my house, and the State House, which we call number 10, is about 10 to 20 minutes walk from my house. So I was always in the middle of everything that was going on. Yeah, it's just one of the beaches in Sierra Leone. We live close to the coast. Well, in 1999, the rebels attack again. And because they've attacked before and the ECMOs, they were able to drive them out, so we were like, we get comfortable. We're like, oh, it's okay, they won't come anymore. We are comfortable. And sometimes we get comfortable in our prayer life as well. Because sometimes when we get a victory, we're like, oh, that's it, we thank God, and we get comfortable. Well, God doesn't want us to be comfortable. Because in Matthew, one of the Gospels, the Bible says that when you drive the demon out, if you don't stay in prayer, when they come back more violent. They come back, yeah. So we were so comfortable, and we didn't think that they would come back. But in 1999, they did. And when they attack, but before they attack, I think most our husbands are in the army. They will do what they call recce. They'll come and they'll take the names of all the girls in the area, all the rich people in the area. They'll do it so they know what they are looking for when they attack. So in 1990, and they'll always attack in the night when you are subconscious and you wake up and you are confused, you don't know what to do. And then in 1999, in March, they attack, and it was really, really frightening because they were firing. We can hear the bombs, the loud noises and everything. And all you can get is your passport in your pocket. You have to wear trousers, because I'll explain why. So passport in your pocket, toothbrush and toothpaste, that's it. Because you can't carry anything else, because you're on the run for the rest of the time that they're there. So when they attack, we can hear all the noises, but our house is a three-story house, and we have a cellar. And we call everybody that doesn't have a cellar in the area, so all of us were hiding in the cellar. So they'll go from house to house looking for the girls and also the rich people to take their money and whatever they can find. And they'll ask everybody to go outside and to chant for them. Whether you like it or not, you have to sing their praises. So everybody was outside, and then they'll be going from house to house. So they came to our house, but because we were under the cellar, they couldn't find us. Went upstairs. They were, you know, AK-47. It was so loud, so noisy, and but you dare not scream because we were hiding, and it was about 40 of people on the floor. So we just sit like that, and I can't move. Nobody can move, because if you move, you touch somebody. So just like that, and then they were make fine and everything. And my cousin, she was 10 by then. And then she screamed, and then goes, there. So we rushed, they said, everybody out. So we rushed out, and the men managed to jump the fence. By then, you jump the fence, and the next day, if they ask you to jump the same fence, you won't be able to jump it, because out of fear, you just jump. So I wanted to jump the fence, and they said to me, if you jump, we'll shoot, and the minute they will shoot. So I didn't, I just walked back slowly, and then they said to me, I was holding on to my grandma, and then my grandma fell down. They said to me, can you pick her up, please? So I did pick her up, and I was walking outside. But God really covered me, because they were looking for me. Because when they come, they will take your picture and be known to you, so they know what they are looking for. They came there looking for me, but God really covered me. And I walked past them, and they didn't see me. I don't know how, it was the grace of God. And they didn't see me. So I just walked into the crowd that was outside and just mingled myself among the crowd. And I was shaking and all of that. And then, And then later they took some of my friends away. And obviously they said they are going to marry them. And the next day they bring them back. take them to their parents and say, oh, we are going to marry your daughter, we just want to ask for your permission. And you dare not say no. Well, they will just kill you on the spot. So, say yes. And they left. And they were living with us. The war lasted for 11 years. It lasted for 11 years. So, they were living with us, living amongst us. So, you can't go outside, you can't eat, you can't cook because you don't want them to know you are there. So, you're always hiding. And I have to move out of my house because they are looking for me. And the house that I was living in, we were always in the middle of the living room. And if we hear them coming to the front door, we'll call to the back door. And if they are coming to the back door, we'll call to the front door. And that's how we used to live. And it's some of the things that I'm going to say, I won't say everything because it's a bit. Sometimes when they attack and if they come to your house, they will ask them, like the dads, to come out, and then they line up all the children and the mom up, and they will kill all of them in front of the dad. And they will ask the dad to, they'll dig a hole and say, bury them. You have to bury them. Or they'll light your house on fire, and they'll say to you, walk into the fire. You either walk into the fire or they will just kill you. So I really feel for people in Syria now because that's what they are going through. And the strategy is the same. When they attack the villages from the start, they will ask the younger boys and girls to kill their parents. So they'll kill their parents in front of. So since they've killed their parents, their heart gets hardened. And they'll brainwash them. So it's the same ISIS is doing, and they'll brainwash them. So when they are coming, the younger ones are the ones that you should be afraid of because they don't care. So when they come, they'll just do whatever they want to do. And they will ask you, if they see, they'll ask you, what do you want? Do you want long sleeve? Do you want sleeveless? Or do you want short sleeve? So that's what they did to these girls here. And then you choose what you want, and they'll just chop your hand off. And there was a lot of atrocities going on, but I won't say everything because it's quite gruesome. And when my dad was working in an oil company called Shell, and when they attacked, they said my dad was collaborating with the government. So they came to take my dad away, obviously, to kill him. But because it lasted for 11 years, people started going back to work. So my dad was going back to work, though there was no import or anything. And whenever they come in for petrol, my dad would supply them. So when they took my dad to the rebels, one of the rebel leaders, and he looked at him and he goes, Mr. Labour, because my maiden name was Labour. He goes, oh, Mr. Labour, somebody gave us your name. That's why we picked you up to kill you. He said, but we won't kill you anymore because of the favor you've rendered to us. But when they picked my dad up, everybody was crying. But then I was a believer. I was a born-again Christian, and I've had enough. I just went to my bedroom and knelt down. I couldn't pray. I couldn't say anything. All I did was start speaking in tongues. I just lifted my hands. I was like, God, I don't know what to do anymore. I'm helpless. You take over. And I started speaking in tongues. And the next day, they brought my dad back. So that's my story, really, about the war. That's more, but I don't think you want to hear about it. At this point, I just want to ask if there's any question. Well, after the war, the airport was closed, then banks, so we can't even get money from the banks to buy ticket or anything. So my dad's elder brother was working for the United Nations, so he managed to get us tickets and everything to get out. But my mom's elder sister is married to a Gambian, so we went to Gambia. Well, I stayed in Gambia for a while. By then, I was studying ICSA, it's a professional course. And I was able to apply for university to come and finish, because I can't, Gambia, they don't really have a university, so I can't go further my studies in Gambia. So I have to apply to university here. So that's how I am. I didn't go back, I just came straight. Yeah.
Are your family still in Gambia?
No, they went back to Sierra Leone. But my mom and my sister in America, only have one sister, they're in America, and my dad is still in Sierra Leone, but he'll be joining my mom soon. Yeah.
Is there a lot of bitterness and unforgiveness because of what's happened? So, because presumably there's still a lot of people that live in the same places with the perpetrators of some of these crimes.
And
that must be really difficult.
Yeah, it was very difficult because most people, especially in Freetown, most of them are very educated, especially Creoles. Most of them studied in America, England. And when they retired, they went back to Sierra Leone, built their houses and everything. And in one day, you can just see your house coming down to the floor. And yes, there was a lot of bitterness. But it's rehabilitating the rebels back to normal life, because it wasn't their fault either, because they were young, and rehabilitating them back to the society was difficult, because it's only God who can do that rehabilitation. No matter the program he puts together, I don't think it's only God. Some of them have accepted Christ, and it's easier for them, but those who are wound, there is a lot of stealing going on, and there's still bits and pieces going on, yeah. Okay, we'll go to the next slide. Because of the war, it taught me how to pray. Because I remember during the war, when the rebels were attacking, parents would be running, leaving their children behind, and they would be calling the parents, "Come and get your child," and goes, "I'll give back to another one," and they would just run away. Because it was, and then You see your mom, your dad, they are running for their lives, because usually your mom and dad are supposed to protect you. But they are running for their lives, so we all have to depend on God. I remember there was a time I was like, God, I was just living on scripture. Sometimes I raised my hand up, I was like, God, Psalm 121 says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hill from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth." And Psalm 91 was my other scripture that I used to quote when the bombs fall, because that we learn that when in the bomb, we are not too scared of the bombs, because if the bombs are coming to this direction, we run to the direction the bomb is coming towards, so it will fall behind. So it's the AK-47, because they are direct. So Psalm 91 and Psalm 121 was, I held on to those psalms. And during the war, it was in the Bible as well, when Jacob was going to meet Esau, Jacob separated his family. Thank you. And so it was the same. People were separating, like separating their children. You go this way, if you die, at least all of us will not die together, you know. And and that was there as well. And also, after when I was praying, I said to God, "God, please, if you bring my family out, not only my mom, my dad, but also my aunties, uncle, everybody, without a scratch, our house should be intact, God. I will serve you for the rest of my life." And after the war, when the president declared the country was safe and everything, like, when you come out, you are going to look, those who have been separated, everybody's looking for their end. I found my mom, my dad, everybody. I was so grateful, because it's just God. I'm not special. And it's not that I was special or anything. It was just God. And all our houses, everything was intact. I was like, thank you, Jesus. And there I learned how to pray warfare, because I should say I've acted a movie, so I know, yeah. And I just want to say what prayer is. For me, prayer is a personal relationship with God. it's like the relationship I have with my husband. Like when he's not there and he's coming home, I'm always excited to meet him. I always want to talk to him, to tell him everything. I was listening to a pastor, and the pastor said, sometimes we wives, when we want to talk to our husbands, they said, oh, it's okay, don't say anything anymore, I've had enough for the day. He said, and then we'll keep it in. He said, and the day when we want to talk, and he goes, oh, you're nagging too much. He said, no, it's not nagging, it's carryover. So sometimes women, we just want to say, you know, this is what, even the small things that sometimes the men, they don't want to hear, but we want to say it. And it's just, that's the relationship I have with God. I just gonna say everything. Everything. Sometimes I just gonna say, God, help! I'll just scream. That's all I say. I don't have any fancy prayer or anything. I just take him as my friend, my lover, he's just my best friend. Obviously, we have to reference him, obviously, but he's just my best friend. He's everything to me because of where he's brought me from. He's my all. And prayer is my direct line to heaven. I just say, all of us have mobiles for calls. Yeah, that's my direct line when I want to talk to my father. Just go on my knees and pray. And prayer is a communication process that allows us to talk to God. God is a personal relationship with everyone who will avail themselves. The thing is, God will not force you. You have to avail yourself to God. And you have to want to spend time. Sometimes it can be difficult, I know. What I'm saying now is not that I have it all together. I'm speaking to myself as well. I don't have it all together. I know it can be difficult with children. I remember when God asked me to set time apart for him, I was like, how am I going to do that? I'm always tired and blah, blah, blah. But if you read the Bible, Jesus always spent time with God. I don't know if it's 4 o'clock or, but he always set in the morning before he go out to perform his ministry. He always set time apart for God first. Sometimes we just give him 5 minutes or less, and the 23 hours and 55 minutes, we have an agenda. We deliberately wake up in the morning and say, breakfast, have my bath, take the school run. Let's be deliberate on our prayer. Let's deliberately set time apart from God. Even if it's 30 minutes in the morning, be deliberate about it. Say, this is my time with my Father. And when God asks me to, I say, God, when am I going to fit that in? In the morning, it's rush. In the afternoon, and I decided to do it when the children are in bed. And then I'm exhausted, I'm tired. I say, God, I just want to sleep. And then I open the Bible and I say, God, I need your help because I can't do this with my own strength. I need you to help me. And in the beginning, I must confess, sometimes I'll start and I'll be sleeping. I'll go, after this, and I'll wake up and I'll continue. And now I really, really enjoy it. I really enjoy spending time with God because it's fixed back. Because sometimes we go, and then that's it. We don't wait for God to, like, say, oh, yes, what you said, this is what I'm thinking about it. And sometimes he just leads me to this particular scripture and he goes, I want you to read everything. And whilst I'm reading the scripture, it'll be opening my eyes to certain things that I've read that scripture more than 20 times and I don't know if it, I haven't seen it like this before. And give you a different revelation every time you read the scripture. And I want to say prayer is not a choice. It's not an option. It's a command. We have to pray. I will explain later. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray continually. That doesn't mean you should spend your 24 hours a day going to, praying. But be deliberate every day. Make it a lifestyle. Pray. And we need to pray to discern the will of God for our lives. Because in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 said, the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So before you were born, God knows. He knows. He knows surely you are going to get married to Ben. He knows. He knows Sarah. He knows Theo. He knows. And he knows all of that. But the thing is, sometimes we don't set time apart to ask God, God, who do you want me to get married to? Sometimes we take it for granted, but it's very important. God, where, what, my next move? Yes, the army, you make all the decision, but you can still go to God in prayer and say, God, I want you to put me where you want me to be, not where the army wants me to go. We can pray about it. He knows. He knows. Sometimes we wait for our children to start making all the mistakes before we start praying. But I think when you go do your pregnancy test and you get positive, you should lay your hands on your tummy and said, you are going to be the head and not the tail. You'll be above only and never beneath. You will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of your life, and say it with faith and confidence. Not say it and then go with confidence and believe that. Just watch God. Believe that what He has said is going to come to pass, and watch God perform His miracle in your life. Thank you. Yeah. And I think I'll go to the next slide then. I want us to like split into small groups and then just try to answer these questions. As I say, I also struggle to pray with God's help. It's not our strength, it's God. Sometimes I ask, is there any point? I'll explain why there is a point. Who are you praying for? What are you praying for? Do you feel there is a calling to pray for something big? I just want us to talk about it for like 10 minutes in groups of 4 or 3, please. Thank you very much, ladies. I pray you've had a fruitful discussion. I just want to talk about our legal right in praying. We have a legal right. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, God was speaking, He said, let us, not only God, it was God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. He said, let us make man in our image and let them rule over all the earth. I think personally, and I'm going to say something, but I'll say it. I think personally that's where prayer was born. Because God said, let us make man and let them. If God has said, let us make man and let us have dominion, then we don't need to pray. But God said, let them. So God hand over the authority to us. So we are supposed to have dominion. We are supposed to rule. We are supposed to reign. By the end of the talk, you understand why. And it says, you have to, I think I'll go by my note now. It says you have to be, in Genesis 1:28, the Bible says you have to be fruitful, you have to multiply, you have to fill, subdue, have dominion over every living thing that moves in this earth. To be fruitful means you have to give birth after your own kind, like women, we give birth to our children. And also, to be fruitful also means not only giving birth to children, but in the way we live our day-to-day life, our character. Sometimes somebody will look at your child and say to you, she looks just like you, and she behaves just like you. It's because she's been watching you. So you have to be careful what you do in front of when they're at home, because sometimes they watch, and that's one sort of fruitful, because you are producing after your kind. And also, I am a fruit of AFCU, because they've really invested in me. I had a mentor for 2 years, Kate, she's not here, but she really invests in me, so I'm a fruit. Whatever I'm doing now, because AFCU, you believe in me. I always say to Sean, you believe in me more than I believe in myself. But yeah, they've really invested in me, so I'm a fruit of AFCU. And also he said to multiply, to produce after your kind. So whatever, like what the lady was, Claire was saying in the video, we have to go out and multiply, get other ladies invest into their lives so that they can multiply as well. And if all of us do our job, the world will be a better place. And it's to feel the earth as well, and it's to subdue. This was a difficult one for me when I look at the meaning of it. It means to bring under subjection. I don't know if any of you have watched 24, not Jack Bauer. when Jack gets all of the terrorists, you know what's going to. Sometimes it's you be like, don't let Jack get there before you. You know what he's going to do. Maybe even kill the before they even get the evidence from. Yeah. So sometimes we have to subdue. We have to put under subjection, especially the enemy. We have to tell him where his place is. This is where your place is, and you stay there. Don't even raise your head. Just stay there. God has given us the authority in Genesis 1:28, subdue. And also take dominion. Be in charge. God has given it to you. You have to be in charge of everything you are doing the godly way, not your way. Let God walk through you. Amen. Okay. Sometimes, if we don't like what we see, especially, is AT, am I pronouncing the name right? Yeah, what you
call it?
Okay, no, AT.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I was so inspired by what you were sharing yesterday. And I'm sure we didn't like what we see. I don't like it. But what are we doing about it? Sometimes I go to God with my prayer request so long. Like God, and then I've realized that God has prayer requests as well. And that's God's prayer request, what you were explaining yesterday. So what are we going to do about it? So nowadays I just go to God and I'm like, well, God, what's your prayer request for me this morning? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to pray for? Sometimes it's as big as Syria. Sometimes it's in your own house, your children. They are false disciples. Sometimes we forget about them and we are thinking about outside our four walls. We minister to everybody apart from our children and our husbands. But they are the first we have to minister to. Be deliberate about it. I remember God said to me, I should start reading the Bible with my children. I was like, what are they going to understand? But you'll be surprised. Sometimes my five-year-old, the question that she asks, I'm like, yeah. So me and my husband, we are very deliberate about it. Every night before we go to bed, we read one chapter with them. And we allow them to ask any questions, whatever they want to ask. And we teach them how to pray. Yeah, and sometimes when I'm in the house, I'll be speaking in tongues. And they go, what language is that? I'm like, oh, don't worry, you get there. Yeah, so I make sure, by the help of God, I minister first to my children and my husband. Yeah, do my best. Yeah, so we have the legal right to do that. But we know God is a spirit. Because I say, He's a spirit, Jesus is a spirit, and the Holy Spirit. And they really do have legal right here. I will explain. When God created us, God created us out of the dust and breathed into our nostrils. I think it's in Genesis 2:7. So we are 100% dirt and 100% spirit. But God is just a spirit. So God is actually looking for a dirt, which is human, to dwell in. Because I've never seen in the scripture, I might be wrong, where God comes into the earth as a spirit and starts walking about and talking to people. Jesus did, but he has to come through a woman. The only legal entry to this earth is through the womb. IVF is through the womb. You have to come through the womb. Okay. And so God needs you. You are very important to God. That's why God created a process called healing. So when you are sick, you go to God, you pray, said, by stripes I'm healed, God. Because God really needs your body to dwell in so that he will use you to do mighty work in this heart. Amen. But let's break it down. One of the reasons why Jesus was born, I think, is because the legal entry to this planet is through the womb of a woman. Nobody can come to this earth without the womb of a woman. That's common, ladies. We are very special, don't you think? Mm-hmm. We are special. Spirits are not allowed to operate on this earth realm without the body of a human being. That's why we are allowed to cast demons out, because they are illegal living here. They don't have the right to live here. So we can cast them out when they possess a human being. God is a spirit and he does not have the right to this earth as a human without human invitation. That means true birth. Demons cannot operate without human bodies. We can cast them out because they're illegal. So God needs the human body. God needs us. It has been medically proven that the female is designed in a way that when she's pregnant, the child's blood never mixes with the mother's blood. God was thinking of himself. Because Jesus' blood did not mix with Mary's blood, so his blood is pure. That's why in the name of Jesus, demons bow. And the blood of Jesus is so powerful because it's from the tomb. So God said, I have a plan. Mary will give birth to a child, but the child's blood will never mix with Mary's blood. It will be my blood, no contamination. Pure from heaven. Mary got saved by the blood she carried. Jesus was 100% human and 100% spirit because he came through the womb of Jesus. So that's why he has the authority to walk on this earth and do everything that he does. So he has the legal right to live as a human being on this earth. That's why we have the legal right to chase demons out, because they are illegal. Our body is very, very important to God. That's why when you lose your body, you die. Your body dies because your body dies, but your spirit still lives. It goes back to God because spirit never dies. So we are legal. That's why God needs us. That's why prayer is so important, because God is looking for somebody he will invest in, somebody he can pour out his spirit in, somebody say, I just want to dwell in this person. So we are very, very important to God. Sometimes we think, oh God, I need you so much. God said, oh Sean, I need you. Me too, I need you. So God, we are so special. He needs us. Don't think of yourself like, oh, I'm not this prayer thing. No, God is still looking, because you are the only vessel he can use here. You are the only one he can use. So God really, really needs us. So I just want us to take another break and just think about what I've said, and just think about how much, because you don't ever feel insignificant. Think, oh, I don't think so. God, he needs you. He wants to use you. But you can only do that if you avail yourself in prayer. Yeah. So, 5 minutes. Thank you, ladies. I just want to talk about what it looks like to be a prayer warrior. It's not sophisticated anyway. First of all, to be a prayer warrior, all of us are prayer warriors. It's not for one specific, not for, you know. I love Jane though. All of us are prayer warriors because if you have to pray for something, your family, and sometimes we think about, oh God, I don't even know why my calling, what am I called to do? You have to pray. So yeah, prayer, well, you pray for your children, pray for your husband. You don't have to be this praying for, you know, in your own small capacity, you are in charge. So first, in my own personal opinion, I think you have to be a lover of God. You have to love God. Yeah, because in fact, God first loved us, you know. I'll give a scenario. So imagine Queen Elizabeth in all her glory, sitting on the throne room. I think she lives in Windsor?
Buckingham.
Buckingham, yeah. And I used to live in Slough, so I used to see people going into Windsor Castle just to admire the beauty and the glory and everything. And then at street here, I pay with her. But imagine heaven, Jesus in his glory, and the street is gold. Imagine where Jesus lives. I'm waiting to see. And sometimes I think of Jesus. He left his glory, everything. Say, I'm going to come. Because in Isaiah, the Bible say, God was looking for somebody and said, send me, Lord. So he left all his glory, all his mercy. I'm coming to save the world. And then he said, because he has to come to the legal entry, so he has to go through Mary's womb. And then he should have come with his, if proud, arrogant into Mary's womb, and I'm sure Mary would have just exploded. But he came gently into Mary's womb, and there's someone in the Bible, I think we read it yesterday, said, allowing himself no repetition and everything, just come gently, allowed himself to be carried for 9 months, and even where he was born, where the sheep's poor and everything, you know, imagine where he's coming from, and then he was breastfed. Imagine what you do to your children. Change his pampers. And sometimes you go, Jesus, why are you going to come here? Imagine you're talking to God. But it was like, just because I love them so much, I'm going to do that anyway. And then he walked through this earth and everything. And yeah, that's Isaiah 6:8. And then he left his glory, and then he walked through this earth, and then he was beaten. He went through the crucifixion, and when he was I think the night before the crucifixion, he said, Father, let this cup be taken away from me, but Lord, not my will, let yours be done. Because he understand the pain he was going to go through. But see, I'm going to do it anyway because I really love them. I want them to come to the full knowledge of you. I just want to open the veil so that they'll have a free access to worship you. They don't have to come to the priest anymore. They can just come boldly into your throne room and just enjoy your presence. So he first loved us anyway. So I think it should be easy for us to just love him back, to just give back. So you have to be a lover of God if you want to be a prayer warrior. And the second bit, I said you have to seek to please God and not man. Because God is going to ask you to do certain things that is not going to go well with everybody. But you have to do what God wants you to do and not what everybody will be happy with. If you know you've heard from God and this is what God, you have to stand firm, because I'm telling you, enemy, sometimes even your own relatives, they'll fight against it. But you have to put your foot down. You have to be firm. Say, this is what God wants me to do. And sometimes when you look at what is God is asking, like when God said to Abraham, leave your father's house, he said to him, go to a land that I will show you. Imagine, yes, the Eli's testimony was so powerful. I was really blessed by the testimony, Eli. So go to a land that I will show you. Where? Just keep moving. And sometimes you say, you go and say, oh, this is what God said. I say, well, he said I should just keep moving. And he'll be like, everybody will be like, what? Just keep moving. Imagine the confusion. Where you go like, no, this is what God said. I'll just go. Listen to God and just keep moving. It's difficult, but sometimes we just have to keep moving. And the third one, you have to be naked before God. I'll ask Sarah to read Psalm 139, verse 1 to 10, please.
Psalm 139. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my laying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain.
And Luke 12:7, please.
When I told Amy about my hair, she just had this verse for me. So I thank God for it. It looks 12:7. Luke 12:7. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Count your sins. You are worth more than many sparrows.
Yeah. Yeah, so God, he knows everything about you. He knows you're going out, you're coming in, and everything. So what are we hiding? So before, I used to go before God thinking, oh, yeah, but now I'm like, I just come just as I am. This is me, God. Take me just as I am. Yeah, and I just say, you know everything, so there is nothing. Even in my fear and everything, God knows. Yeah. Yeah, even in my fear and everything, God knows. I remember, let me give this testimony. My husband is in the army, but when we got married, he wasn't in the army. So he just joined the army. So I was pregnant with Jasmine. I came back from work and went to a Wednesday Bible study. So I was sitting there, I was tired because I worked from 8 in the morning till 5. Pregnant, I was so tired. So I was just sitting down. And then a prophet came from Ghana. He was preaching, and then he looked at me and goes, "Where is your husband?" I was so scared because in the black community, by then, it was the Afghanistan war, Iraq. You dare not say he's in the army. People look at you, what, in the army? It's like a taboo. You don't do that. So I was just like that. I was like, And then my pastor and his wife goes, oh, he's just joined the army. He's on training. I'm like, And then the gentleman looked at me and he goes, pray quality prayer for him. I don't mean any kind of prayer. I mean quality prayer. I walked out of the room and I was like, I told him not to join the army, but he will listen. Yes, he will listen. We've been married for almost 11 years. And then 7 years down the line, I realized it has nothing to do with the army. It was his background, where he's coming from. And sometimes we take that for granted as well. Sometimes there are things that our ancestors have done, our grandparents, and we are so innocent, we don't know anything about it, but it's still affecting us. And it was so sometimes me and Sean walk a lot of journeys. I've cried and cried. And I'll just finish my testimony and I'll say something else. And sometimes, and God commanded me to pray for him, so sometimes I'll be praying for him and I don't want to pray for him because sometimes he's like, this is not the man I married, what's going on? And I don't want to pray for him. And then one day I go to God, I said, I'm done. And God said to me, you have to pray. And he said, if you don't pray and anything happens, I'll hold you responsible because I've asked you to pray for him. It's a command. You should pray for him. And then I remember I'll go to God in prayer and I'll be crying. I was like, but God, you know, how can I pray for him? And God, was like, pray. So I'll be praying in tears. I'll be crying, but I'll pray. So sometimes God will ask you to do things and you're like, no. It was like, yes. Yeah. But I still have to do it. I remember there was a battle in my farm, in my life, and me and Sean is like, I think we've come to the resolution that as for this one, it's not going to change. All we have to do is just go with it and go with the flow, and it's God's will. And everybody was praying, 24 AFC, everybody was praying. And then there was a glimpse of the breakthrough, and I was like, Sean, and she goes, because we've been there before, the breakthrough, goes, and Sean said to me, okay, let's see if it's really going to happen. And when it happened, we're like children jumping on it, and because it's like, this will never move. It's like a mountain just there. But thank God for prayer. Thank God for corporate prayers. And it's moved, and now there is peace. And yeah, sometimes what God will ask you to do, like, God, I don't want to do this, especially if you, sometimes the husband can be so, they can be annoying, but we have to pray for them, you know. Yeah. Sorry, don't tell him. But we have to pray. It doesn't matter. We have to, sometimes you'll be praying for them and go like, it's not changing. Sometimes it's like, I've been praying for 10 years, God, and it's still the same. God said to pray. I've come to the resolution where I just said to myself, you know what? God, if it changes, it doesn't change. I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to serve you. I'm still going to do what you've asked me to do. I'm just going to love you. If it changes, fine. If it doesn't, I'll move on. Yeah, because I've refused to get stuck in the problem anymore. So I'll just do what you said to me. You asked me to do it, I've obeyed, the rest is up to you. And move on to my life, yeah. So it doesn't matter, let's just pray for our husband, because it's difficult for them as well, you know, when they go to Afghanistan and I've been in one situation before, and when you come, you are so traumatized, and they don't know how to express. Sometimes they don't know how to love anymore. They don't want to tell you that, oh, this is what I've been through, the war, and I've seen this. They don't want to explain that. So they keep everything in, and sometimes it comes out in anger. So sometimes you just have to pray for, your testimony was powerful yesterday, for God to just heal whatever is in there. Sometimes I feel sorry for them as well, because I've been through similar situations. There's a lot that they are carrying as well, and they don't know how to come to their wives and say, oh, this is what I'm going through. And so we have to like bear with them and forgive them and just create. If they need space, just let them be, you know, give them their space and still pray for them and for God to bring the healing so that God will heal them. Amen. Amen. Another thing, love people even when they don't love you in return. Yeah, because God will ask you to pray for people or to mentor somebody. It's like some teenage, if you have teenage children, when you tell them, don't do this, and they'll look at you and go, I am going to do this, and you're like, I know what the result, but just love them anyway and still mentor them, still pray for them, still be there for them. When they come back, don't say, I told you so. No. Still just open and give them a hug, say, it's okay, it's okay, it's a journey, we'll walk through this. Just love them, especially leaders in church. It's not easy to be a leader, you know, it's so difficult because people can be so, but still love them. Yeah, you have to create a boundary, though, but still love them. Be prepared for attack from the enemy. You know, when we pray, we are stepping into the enemy's territory. If he can stop you from praying, you'll be so excited. Because God is waiting for us to pray. Because when you pray, God will send his angel on assignment, say, go, Michael, go. But if you don't pray, nothing will happen. So Satan doesn't want you. If he can stop you from praying, you'll be sick. So he'll be going around doing whatever he has to do and messing people around and everything. So when you pray, be ready, because Satan's like, so you want to step into my territory, you want to disturb my plan, you want to make sure. So sometimes the attack is on our marriages, it comes in different. So you have to be prepared, and you have to make sure you cover all those areas as well, and with the word of God, as Sean has taught us as well, and Emily, make sure all those areas are covered with the blood of Jesus. And then you have to go on the offensive. Sometimes you wait for him to, well, no, said no. And you have to go on the offensive, because spiritual victory comes only to those who are prepared for battle. And I want to give an example in Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, 1 to 7, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were very prayerful. So because of that, the king made a decree that anybody who doesn't, I think that's the one that doesn't bow down to the image, will be thrown in the furnace. And sometimes I ask myself, what have they done? It's the strategy of the enemy. All they wanted to do is to pray to their God. Allow them to pray, no? Because the enemy knows when you pray, the power of prayer, so he'll do everything to stop it. So they said, they'll throw them. I like their answer. I say, King, you can. We are not going to stop praying. But peradventure, God doesn't save us. It's okay. But we know our God. And we know the end of the story, what happened. And Daniel as well. There was a decree in Daniel that you shouldn't pray. So they conspired against Daniel. But Daniel opened, that's when Daniel opened his window and prayed for everybody to see that he was praying. And they said, and then they come back to the king and say, see, Daniel is not listening to what you're saying. So they put him in the, they said they are going to put him in the lion's den. And then the king loved Daniel so much, so he didn't want to do it, but he said, oh, because I've made a decree. I'll just stop here and say something. We are kings in God's eyes and queens, but we are kings. And sometimes we have to make decrees, the word of God. What's the importance of a king if there is no decree? In prayer, you have to make a decree and use the word of God. That's our decree. So the king has passed his decree, and because it's come out of his mouth, that's it. That's the word of God. The word of God is God's decree, and God has to obey his word. So whatever decree, say, this is God, this is what your word says. God says, oh, okay, yeah, that's it. So the king can't go back to his word, so he still has to put Daniel in there. And the king said to Daniel, okay, if your God save you, fine. And then the king couldn't sleep in the night, and in the morning Daniel was saying, what I'm saying is, these people, they just want to pray. They didn't want to do anything, commit crime or anything. It's just, I just want to pray. So when you make up your mind that you're going to pray, get ready for attack. Well, God is great, amen? And I think about the Christians in Syria, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and all they wanted to do is to serve God and persecute the church. So we have to pray for them as well, because it's not easy. But, this is Daniel and that, yeah, but don't be afraid. Our God is all powerful. He's a great deliverer. He will give us the victory. Amen. I just want Ephesians chapter 1, 19 to 22.
I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in saints, in the saints, and in his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God blessed him. God blessed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Amen. So, because of what Christ went through, this is what he gets. Sometimes, if God asks you to pray and all these attacks come, don't worry, there is victory. Because God has already prepared you. When you come out, you see why you went through what. Yeah, and also, I just want to say, God really, really needs every one of us. It doesn't matter where you are, like, I don't know how to pray. Just start, even if it's 5-10 minutes, make it deliberate to talk to God. There are things that all of us are going through and things, it's overwhelming. Give it to God. Give it to God. Go to the scripture and find scriptures that speaks about your situation and start declaring it every day. If it's one scripture a week, it doesn't matter. Declare it and stand on it and say, God, this is what you want to say. I'm going to speak it into my life until I see change. Don't back down, because sometimes it takes a long time because nothing is working. No, don't give up. Don't give up. Let the devil give up, not you. Yeah. Let him give up. Say to yourself, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stay in the fight. There's a song that we wanted to, but the internet connection is not working, so... Yeah.
There's a great YouTube clip of a church that does a warrior dance, and there are these women on stage, and children and old women, combat trousers on, and black t-shirts and red crosses around their necks, and they do this really cool dance. I'll have to send out the YouTube clip link to that email that Juliette's going to send everybody. So it's really cool.
Yeah.